good to be in God's house today. If you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. And if you found it, if you're willing and able to, stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. Nehemiah chapter 12. I've already read some verses out of here, if you didn't notice, when we open the service today, as I typically will read some verses right before the opening prayer about praise. We did so. And then also I read out of Psalms, but referenced Nehemiah when regarding giving in worship as well. Nehemiah chapter 12, look at verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even far off. Simply put, the title of the message, well, I do this often. I have two thoughts. My point in the titles is to kind of carry the thought of the message. So that's why I have two of them this morning. Find your joy in the Lord. Find your joy in the Lord. Maybe some of you are lacking joy or needing joy. The only place you're going to find it is in the Lord. Amen? And then the second one is giving thanks. As we're approaching Thanksgiving, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, we're not going to preach as many messages about Thanksgiving in November as I typically do. But we're starting off this first Sunday in November with this thought, and I'm not really going to reference Thanksgiving much, but it's fitting, and I just feel like the Lord is led in this direction today. So let's pray, and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for this day. Thank you for everyone who's here. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to tune into what you have for us. May the Holy Spirit take control today, and your word would speak to our hearts. People have come wanting to hear from you, so I want to be out of the way. And we desire for you to speak to our hearts. May we discipline our minds and our thoughts towards that as well. Sometimes it comes easy to tune into a message, and sometimes it takes a little more work. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to determine ahead of time that we are going to receive from you what you have for us. And, Lord, that with your help and the Holy Spirit's guidance and teaching, we'd respond. And I pray the same in the holy, precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. How many of you have ever been put under for a surgery? Anybody like that? Raise your hand. How many of you have some interesting stories about how you woke up? All right. How many don't want to admit those interesting stories? Okay. My wife was put under for a surgery on her knee several years ago. And when she woke up, she said the nicest things about me. She doesn't remember it. Well, she said the nicest things about me. She said, "You are one good-looking man." I was like, "It's about time you noticed." I watched a video yesterday or 2 days ago when Levi, when he was younger, every time he had to have a lot of work on his teeth, and they had to put him under every time. And so when he woke up on this particular time, she had bought him a slushie, I think it was. And she's videoing him, and he's maybe 8 years old or something. And he's just kind of in and out in the car. Kinda, I don't know what's going on. Where am I? And he's trying to drink out of the slushie, the straw, you know. And he's like stabbing himself in the cheek, like, you know, trying to get to it. And it's hilarious. Drool's coming out of his mouth, and it's fun to watch that. I I was put under one time, and evidently I came out saying some inappropriate things that I'm not going to say what they were, but my wife tells me I said something inappropriate. I'm like, what are you talking about? I would never do that. And she goes, oh, no, you did. So if you want to know the rest of the story, you need to come talk to her afterwards, because don't think I should say it from the pulpit. And I deny it. Okay, I plead the fifth. I have no idea what happened in that conversation. But surgeries are a serious thing, and they can be a scary thing. And I'm actually grateful for something kind of fun that can come out of it at the end, and something that can put a smile on your face, give you a little joy in that fashion as well. We read a verse about joy, Nehemiah 8:10. If you go back a few pages, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. Now, this is talking about some marbled meat, okay? Some well marbled, amen. Come on, let's get some amen there. And drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Moody said, the Lord gives his people perpetual joy when they walk in obedience to him. You may have heard this story. It was Easter morning, 1799, in Feldkirch, Austria. The armies of Napoleon appeared. The people, aware they had no means of defending themselves, called a council, town council together, and they prepared to surrender. After a lot of discussion, one of the men in the church rose up and said, my brothers, today is Easter day. We've been reckoning our own strength, and that failed. He said, let us turn to God, ring the bells, and let's have service as usual, and let's just leave the matter in God's hands while Napoleon's army is encompassing them. They all agreed. I think some agreed because, well, there's nothing else we can do. We may as well. If we're going to die, we may as well die happy. Others agreed because they really wanted to seek God's help. And so they rang the bells on as they do every Easter Sunday, and they had service as usual, and they left the matter in God's hands. And as they did so, people started coming out of their houses. They were hiding, but they started coming out of their houses and their homes, and the worshipers filled the streets, and they hastened to the service. And the French, the Napoleon's army, the French heard the sudden ring of joy bells with surprise and alarm, and so they concluded that the Austrian army had arrived to defend the town, and the people were excited about it, so they rang the bells in celebration of that. Before the bells had ceased ringing, not a Frenchman was to be seen. This is a true story. In our spiritual warfare, which we're battling every single day, many Christians give up in defeat. And some would give reasons, and not belittling any of those. Life can be hard, for sure. Spiritual warfare can be hard. But some would ask, where is our strength? Where do we find strength? How am I going to get through this? I need God's strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Strength is only found in the Lord. Strength is only found in the joy of the Lord. It's an inner resource. Joy is an inner resource of the Christian that gives us a hidden strength when Satan brings his onslaught in our lives. And Satan does attack, doesn't he? Every single day of our lives, he attacks. And he constantly works to rob us of our joy. And it could be through personal trials. It could be through ministry burdens. It could be through life difficulties, health, finances, and circumstances outside of our control. It can be through Satan wants to rob your joy. This week, if results don't turn out the way that you want them to, Satan wants to rob your joy after Tuesday. Satan wants to rob your joy when something happens at work. And his goal is to undermine our strength. His goal is to think that you don't have joy in the Lord. His goal is to deplete your hope. When something doesn't go right with your kids at school, or something doesn't go right with your spouse, or something doesn't go right, you forget you're a Christian half the time. And that you have the Lord who you can find joy in. So how do we do this? How do we experience joy? I've got a few things I want to go through today, and we're just going to stop when we need to stop. But there's so much here that could be helpful to us. One place will help you to find joy in your life is if you remember your salvation. You're saved this morning. Amen? See, Nehemiah's statement on the joy of the Lord, he said this statement to a revival renewed people. These were people who just went through a lot. I mean, they had been building walls and been building and building and building, and there's been opposition from outside trying to stop them from building, and those who would try to discourage them from building. And it wasn't just, you know, swinging hammer and nails. They had to swing a hammer in one hand and hold a sword in another hand. I mean, it was opposition after opposition after opposition after discouragement after trial after difficulty. And after a long time, walls were finally built, and Nehemiah actually preached a message to them. And they experienced a revival, so to speak, and they just received a renewed heart and just heard and understood God's word. It says in Nehemiah 8:12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because here's why they were excited. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. They were celebrating because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They were excited because God spoke to them and they got it. Fellowships after Sunday night is biblical. Amen. We heard the word of God preached. We get it. Now let's go celebrate and eat some food. Eat the fat. And drink the sweet. Here's the greatest moment of your life. The greatest moment of your life is when you hear and understand what God's word says about the payment Christ made on Calvary's cross for you, and you place your faith and trust in him as your Savior. And now you have true cause, not just for joy on that day. You have true cause for continuous joy every single day of your life because you've been saved. The Jews in Nehemiah's day, they actually wept as their sin was exposed through God's word. When was the last time we did that? We know Christ is our Savior, and we find in God's word that we are covered with his righteousness. Isaiah 61:10, turn there if you would. Isaiah 61, verse 10. If you remember the moment you were saved, say amen. Do you remember the joy of receiving the gift of eternal life? Say amen. The truth is, even at that time, when you got saved, at that time, there were problems in your life at that time, weren't there? You might have even realized your need for Christ because of those problems. But at the moment of salvation, your heart wasn't focused on the problems. At the moment of salvation, your heart was focused on Christ and overflowing with joy because you got saved that day. Right? That ought to continue. There's still problems in our life, but you're still saved. There's still difficulties in your life, but you're still going to heaven when you die. And Isaiah chapter 61, and look at verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of, what's that word? Salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Regardless of what difficulties you face today, you can rejoice in the fact that you're saved. Habakkuk 3:18, might want to write this one down. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That choice to rejoice in salvation, that's going to give you strength. Another way is to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. We desire strength. for every area of our life. Because we get tired. We get wore down. We get desensitized. We get used to things. What once was exciting becomes same old, same old. And we need strength. But strength for what we do comes from strength not in us. Strength for what we do comes from strength in who Christ is. I get strength by abiding in Him, by daily walking in fellowship with Him, that I have a continuous source of strength. His name is Jesus. And if you'll go to John 15 for a minute, John 15, we preached on it actually last week a little bit. We have he used the analogy of a branch drawing nourishment from the vine. In John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I can't bear fruit without Christ. I can't bear fruit without abiding in him. I can't bear fruit without spending time with him. I want strength in my life. I'm going to get strength, obviously, because of my salvation. And remembering my salvation is going to give me strength, but I'm also going to receive strength in my life, in every area of my life, if I daily walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is the source of my strength. What does it mean then to abide? Or what's included in abiding with Christ? What does that mean? It means this. It means you get a regular intake of the Word of God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. You get a regular intake of the Word of God. Consistent. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday at 11 a.m. But you get a regular intake of the Word of God. You spend time in the Word of God. See, this is where it's easy to lose interest, or it's easy to lose people, because this is something we've heard our whole lives. Well, here we go again. It's just a repeat of things before. I want God's strength. I want God's blessings. I want God's help. So I got to read the Bible. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's as much. This isn't to be an insult to anybody, because this is a slap in my face too. It's as much of a no-brainer as it is to understand that I've got to eat meat or drink water in order to live. You mean I have to, if I want to live next week, I got to eat this week? Yeah! If you want to grow as a Christian, or you want to abide in Christ, or if I need God's strength in my life, I'm going to have to walk close with Him. And if I'm going to walk close with Him, I've got to be in His Word. A daily intake. How many of you found out your vehicle doesn't work very well if you don't put gas in it? It's our fuel for the day. It's what we need to keep going and to go well. The prophet Jeremiah found joy and rejoicing. How? Through the words of God. He said in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. If we had a conversation with Jeremiah, and we said, Jeremiah, how were you able to say that you had joy and rejoicing? He said, I found joy and rejoicing because I was in the word of God. Thy words were found, I ate them, and thy word was joy and rejoicing to me. Pastor, I want joy in my life. Then don't ignore this in your life. Because the natural result of abiding with Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him, the natural result is joy. It's just going to happen. No, it's just going to happen. Spend time with Christ. If you're saved, you spend time with Christ, the natural result is joy. Get close to Him. Get to know Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Listen to Him. Get intimate with the Lord. The natural result is joy and rejoicing. In the same conversation, when Jesus told his disciples to abide in him, he further explained in verse 11, if you're still in John 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you." I told you all this about abiding in me and being close to me. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." He says, "I told you all this so you can have joy." Well, what's another way, Pastor? I got to remember I'm saved. Listen, if we remember we're saved, it's hard today, but I'm going to heaven. That'll bring joy. That'll bring joy. If I spend time with the Lord and not with things that Christ wouldn't spend time with, but the things that would please the Lord, and I spend time with Christ and I abide in him, the natural result is going to be joy. Praise the Lord. That's good. Because I want joy in my life. This one right here is one that people shirk. But there's joy in serving the Lord too. See, there were no amens on that. So it's called the joy of serving. Serving can be exhausting, though. Amen? But we're talking about joy. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. So, as we serve, it depletes our strength. But as we serve God, he replenishes our strength so that I can continue to serve him. And then he replenishes it more. And the more I exhaust myself for him, the more he replenishes me. And I find that he never runs dry. He continues to strengthen and continues to strengthen and continues to strengthen. But if I try to do things on my own and I don't spend time abiding in him, that's where I find joy, by the way. And that's my strength so that I can continue to serve. And the more I exhaust myself for him and the more I spend time with him, the more strength I get so I can continue to serve him. And there's this joy and strength and joy and strength and joy and strength compounding and multiplying upon each other. And I can see God do great things. See, service itself brings its own reward. And Nehemiah knew this better than anyone. He had labored night and day. These people, and especially Nehemiah, hit more obstacles than ever imagined in the process with the walls completed. The people of God experienced revival. And this, what would be an otherwise weary leader, could say, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." People, we just spent months and months and months and years building these walls, and now we're exhausted, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Save your place in Nehemiah. God wants us to serve him, but there's a way he wants us to serve him. Psalm 100, look at verse 2. I'm just going to read the first five verses, but you say the last verse out loud. Ready? "Serve the Lord with gladness." Gladness. Joy. Let me ask this question. So be ready to answer. Is God worthy of our service? Yeah. And he refills our joy as we serve. There's a caveat I should mention to the joy found in serving, though. This joy comes as we serve the Lord. The Lord. It doesn't just come as we serve. It comes as we serve the Lord. You see, in truth, we serve God by serving others. And if we serve others expecting our joy to come from them, or from their recognition, or from their thanks. If you're serving the church so you can be recognized by somebody else, or you're doing something, investing in somebody because you want them to appreciate you, or you're looking for some kind of response in that way, and recognition and thanks, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and eventually resentment, because that is not where our joy comes from. If we serve others, though, for the sake of serving the Lord, looking to him, looking to God for our reward, we can serve others full of joy, even when our labor goes unnoticed or unthanked by those that we serve. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The saints might not notice, but God does. We're finding our joy in the Lord. How do we do that? Remember your salvation. You're having a bad day, but praise God, you're going to heaven. That was important enough on the day that you got saved that no other problem mattered on that day. There were problems, but they didn't matter because you got saved. And you were excited about that. And your problems continue, but you're also still saved. So it should be enough also for us to remember to keep our focus on our salvation and not on our problems. Another way that we can then be encouraged or have joy in the Lord is to abide in Christ, spend time with Him. The natural result of spending time with Christ is you're going to have joy. I noticed that the more I spend time with my wife, we go on a date or we go somewhere. The other day, we went to a hockey game there in Kansas City with my mom and my kids. And I noticed something about my wife and I. Or about my wife when I spend time with my family and I spend time with her. We're sitting there in the car seat. You know what she'll do once in a while? I'm sitting next to her in the seats there in the stands, and we're watching a hockey game. She'll kind of snuggle up to me and put her arm, loop it around my arm. It's a really big, strong arm. And she'll loop it around there, and she'll kind of snuggle up against me, and she's finding joy in just being with me. I'm not sure why, but she is. You might say, well, it's an ice hockey game, so it was cold in there. Yeah, you're right, it was. But she did it on the way home in the van, too. So when you find that you spent time with the Lord and your relationship grows closer and closer with Him, there's just something sweet about it. And there's a joy there. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I want to encourage you, get in the Word of God and get in prayer. And throughout the day, just speak to the Lord. Talk to Him about your problems. Something happens at work, talk to the Lord about it, not Facebook. Something happens in your home, talk to the Lord about it. Don't yell at your family about it. Just spend time in God's Word and in prayer and in fellowship with Him. You'll find a sweet communion that only comes from that, and it gives you joy and strength for your day. And serve the Lord. The more you do for Him, the more you love it. When you realize I'm doing it for the Lord, He keeps replenishing your strength as you're serving Him. Next to the joy of salvation itself is the joy of leading others to Christ. This joy is referenced all throughout Scripture as well. This is another means by which you can have joy. First time I led somebody to the Lord, I was a Bible college student. It was on the southeast side of Oklahoma City. I'll never forget his name. I was 19, maybe 20 years old. I was probably 20 years old. I never led anybody to the Lord before. I'm out there door knocking. I had no clue what I was doing. I had verses in front of me that I could use. A young man, 12 years old, it was an area, a neighborhood that wasn't such a great neighborhood. 13 years old. His parents were out there. They were okay with me talking to him. And there was a bunch of people out there. You know, those fixed grills outside that are fixed to the ground. You know, it's got a pole and kind of cemented in and just kind of a box little grill. And they paint them black. And the whole neighborhood was out. They were grilling chicken. Oh, I got some after I led this kid to the Lord. What a blessing. That's another benefit of leading people to Christ. And his name's Abraham. He had a Bible name, but he didn't know God. And I led him to the Lord that day. Nothing compares to that. Nothing brings more joy than that, honestly. I mean, it's awesome. I went home crying, like, back to the dorm crying, like, God, I'm not worthy to even be used of you to tell something about Christ. And he just got saved. It was awesome. And he went and told his family, and they're like, praise the Lord. He rode, started riding the bus to church, and they said, you want some chicken? I'm like, yeah. Is the Pope Catholic? Am I a Baptist? You better believe it. Got some chicken out of that. Psalm 126, verse 6 tells us, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go to Luke 15. Luke 15 in your Bibles, please. You want joy in your life? You'll never experience joy like the joy of leading somebody to Christ. You have the truth. You know the truth. There at 19, 20 years old, however old I was a Bible college student, but frankly, I didn't know hardly anything at that time. I just sheepishly told this kid, God loves you. Call upon him to be your Savior. You can be saved. And I mean, there's a little more to it than that. I showed him some verses. He's like, I want that. He had a skateboard. Some kids came up and grabbed his skateboard and said, while you're talking to him, can I ride your skateboard? He's like, yeah, go ahead. So they're like skateboarding around us, talking to this kid about the Lord. Luke 15, verse 5, and when he hath found it, this is Jesus compared a lost soul salvation to the joy of a shepherd, that a shepherd feels when a lost sheep is found. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. In verse 10, he said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Acts 8 records Philip preaching the gospel in Samaria. A lot of people trusted Christ, and the Bible says in Acts 8:8, and there was great joy in that city. And see, when a person trusts Christ as a Savior, there is joy all the way around. Joy in heaven, joy in the heart of the new Christian, and joy for the one who led him to Christ. There's just joy everywhere. You want joy in your life? Go tell somebody about Jesus. I know you got problems. I know you have trials. I know there's hard things going on. I know life is busy and hectic. But you will find a joy that nothing else compares to when you go tell somebody about Christ. Well, if they don't get saved, then you add the joy of planting a seed in their heart. The Lord waters and he brings the increase. There's a joy that comes with that. Okay, Pastor, you've given me some good reasons to have joy. Nehemiah talked about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Here's another. Keep eternity in view. One day, every burden of labor. You know, one day, all earthly leadership will vanish. No, you're worried about what's going to happen in a couple of days. No matter who's the president, Jesus is still on his throne. And one day those thrones are going to vanish, the earthly thrones. And we'll step into eternity, and on that day and for all of eternity after, we will, if you're saved, you'll bask in the presence of the Lord. And I know this is connected to what we talked about earlier. You're saved and you're going to heaven. But until that day, remember this, that the Bible talks about, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible talks about what we're going through on this earth and the things that we face and the things that are struggle in our lives. It calls it light affliction. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Look where it says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen on this earth, right here, but at the things which are not seen in heaven in eternity. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Sure, if we endure heartache and suffering here, it brings tears. But it is also true that the Romans 8:18 says the sufferings of this present time, sufferings are hard, right? They're weighty. There's a lot to it. But the Bible says in Romans 8:18 that the sufferings of this present world, of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed on us. So what it's saying, you know, how the comparison, where sin abounds, grace what? Doth much more abound. Amen? So you name a sin, there's grace. Okay, and doth much more abound. But there's a comparison that Paul's making here in Romans 8:18, where he says the sufferings of this present time, there it may seem like it's a lot to you, it may seem like it's endless and there's no hope, but the sufferings of this present time, they're nothing compared to the glories which are going to be revealed to us when we're in heaven. I mean, they pale in comparison. They're like a dot, like a little speck, compared to all the glories that we will get to experience one day. I'm looking forward to heaven, aren't you? So we keep an eternal perspective. And that'll help you experience the joy of the Lord. So, Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi. He said this: rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. And again I say, rejoice. Some of you are waiting for me to finish that. Our circumstances fluctuate, but God never does. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to pin your prosperity and victory or progress, or I'm sorry, if you want to pin your joy to your prosperity or your victory or your progress or how your day went, if you want to pin your joy to your paycheck, if you want to pin your joy to how good you are at sports, if you want to pin your joy to your material wealth, then you're setting yourself up for disappointments, because that fluctuates. And you'll find your strength ebbing away during those difficult times. But if you pin your joy to God Himself, and you make a deliberate decision to rejoice in God, you make a deliberate decision to rejoice in Him and who He is in your life, you're going to find unending reasons to rejoice. And then as a bonus, you'll find this. You'll find that joy is your strength to continue, no matter what's going on in life.